Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the UFlex Q4 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by Edelweiss Securities Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Shraddha Sheth from Edelweiss Securities. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you, Aniket. On behalf of Edelweiss, let me welcome you all to the Q4 FY18 earnings call of UFlex Limited. From the management today, we have Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, the Group CFO, and Mr. Rajesh Agrawal, Vice President, Investor Relations of UFlex. So without any further ado, I'll hand over the call to Mr. Rajesh Agrawal for his initial comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Shraddha. Good day, everyone, and welcome to all of you participating in Q4 and FY18 earnings call of UFlex Limited. We have with us Mr. Rajesh Bhatia, Group CFO, along with other members of the team. We'd like to mention before we begin that some statements made in today's discussion may be forward-looking in nature, and a statement of this effect has been included in the conference call invite, which was emailed to everybody earlier. I would also like to emphasize that while this call is open to all invitees, it may not be broadcasted or reproduced in any form or manner. We'd like to start this call with opening remarks from the CFO, followed by an interactive Q&A session wherein you can discuss your viewpoints on the key issues. I would now like to invite Mr. Bhatia to share some perspective with you with regard to the company's operations and results for the quarter and year under review. Over to you, Mr. Bhatia.
Thank you. And I really welcome everybody on the call. I think we're holding this call after probably a very long gap. But as we go in the future, we'll make it a regular feature. And it's always good to have a lot of questions and fair assessments coming from some of the key participants like you, and which is helpful to us also in many respects. And we really would sort of ensure that we have this practice of a quarterly earnings call as we go along. To give you an overall perspective, I think the year has been pretty decent. The year marks quite a few highs, like on a consolidated and a standalone basis, the highest ever turnover achieved. When I say turnover, because of the impact of GST, we net off all the taxes, whether excise or VAT or GST now. So net off all taxes and duties is probably the highest ever turnover we have achieved on a consolidated and standalone basis. The year also marked the highest ever production and sales level for our packaging business, as well as holography, which is a subset of our packaging business. On the film side also, out of the six locations, we have five overseas and one in India. In four locations, three overseas and one India, we also have highest ever production of films and sales. So as a accordingly, we have for the year the total production volume up consolidated basis about 8.5%. The film production volume is up 8%, and the packaging volumes are up about 11%. The sales volume are on a consolidated basis are up by 8.6% in the current year. The revenue is up 9% in the current year, net of taxes and duties. EBITDA consolidated remains almost the same, and this is largely because of the impact of, though we had the higher numbers of production and sales, but we had the Sanand plant, which went into the capitalization on 30th of September, and it's in the ramp-up phase, and accordingly, its operating costs and interest as well as depreciation have resulted in, you know, the EBITDA, the consolidated EBITDA being muted. On a standalone basis, there is a EBITDA fall of about 6.7%. That has been made up by, by about 10% growth in the overseas EBITDA numbers. And again, I said that, you know, the lower EBITDA in the standalone operations is largely because of the impact of the operating costs of the tunnel facility, which had to be absorbed because as it ramps up capacity. The depreciation for the year was also higher because of the same reason. And the tax was, you know, sort of almost the same, but, you know, the two big things which contributed to a lower PBT and PAT, EBTT and PAT was higher interest outgo as well as the higher depreciation due to capitalization of the Sanand facility. The Sanand facility is ramping up well. It's a world-class facility. We've been participating in the various trade shows, so the endeavor is not only to capture the market in India, but also to capture the market, also to get some of the market overseas, given that, you know, we are the only ones who can, given our overall experience in the printing and the lamination and the holography, we've been able to give some of the client solutions which are out of the box, the packs that sparkle. So on the shelf space, you know, they look different. If you see the success of, this paperboard, the packaging, though it's a beverage, but, you know, it got hit because of its innovative packaging. And I'm very proud that, you know, UFlex has been, has developed that and, you know, given it as a solution to for that beverage, and, you know, it's doing wonderfully well. Similarly, while it's a growing market, the aseptic packaging growing at about 18 to 20%, but, you know, our endeavor is not to be in a kind of any price war or the market share war with anybody, because, you know, once you have that kind of a growth rate in the industry, I think you will obviously pick up the volumes, even coming emanating from the growth. And on the existing side, we only want the customers to, give the value-added products which have holographic features, glittering packs and all that, which obviously ultimately the customer also realizes that, you know, it's the packaging differentiation that helps them to grow their volumes also. And, that's what the whole endeavor is. Packaging business in India still has some headroom to grow. So, but, you know, we can grow at about, we're projecting about 8 to 10% volume as well as the revenue growth coming out of the packaging business in the current financial year also. We are also, the films business, we have, a much higher level of capacity utilizations, or, you know, in certain cases, even exceeding the rated capacity of the plants in four locations. Two locations in Dubai and Mexico, we still have some headroom, and hopefully this year, we've already ramped up the volumes there in the month of March and April. And, we will surely, in these two businesses, we will surely have a much better performance in the current financial year. The holography business is kind of growing every year. And, you know, more and more governments are also realizing that, this, by using these security features, they can improve their, the tax collections for the excise, for the liquor industry. And this has already proved the success in the three states where we are working, UP, as well as, you know, Andhra and Telangana and Madhya Pradesh. So it's spilling over to some of the other states also who are also equally keen to now explore this, because you know some of these states have really shown a much higher tax collection after they have implemented these holographic features, security features for the liquor industry, and we obviously pioneered in that, and the margins are definitely better than the conventional, the flexible packaging things, what you do with the likes of P&G or Nestle. And we're looking to grow that volumes there. And we had taken up an expansion project in our existing at Jammu, which will get completed in Q2 of this year. And in fact, last year we were struggling with some of our capacity availability for some of the specialized products that we had in mind for the holographic solutions to the customers and all that. And with the commissioning of this facility in Q2, obviously there'll be a separate bouquet of products which can be offered to the customers, as well as increase your throughput, because we were really struggling with the capacity availability for our holographic business. That's in nutshell, business perspective. The CapEx for the year has been under 500 crores, so much less than what we incurred in 2016-17. I think partially because the Sanand got completed this year, and the larger impact of that would have been there in the last year. This apart, presently we don't have any CapEx announcements as of now. We can only 150 odd crores or so, which is a kind of a sustenance CapEx for our kind of a company, the scale of operations, and we only having that. But in the same breath, I would like to say that we would like to digest the Sanand and the holographic expansion. And at some stage where, we've already have a very high capacity utilizations and all that, we'll have to look at, either a brownfield expansion or a greenfield one, depending on, what makes a business sense. The debt position overall has also, remained at the same level. We borrowed in this year, we have repaid some of the debt in this year, and the net debt position is almost the same as was there in the last year, and which actually means that the new capacity has been added, but there is no debt added. So against about a 470 crore capex this year, there has been no additional borrowings on the balance sheet this year. That largely, sums up my briefing to you in terms of how the year has been, how's the operational performance, and I think I'm open to any questions that you may have. I may not have all the answers for you, for which, where we don't have, we'll note it down and, can get back to you on a individual basis.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of A.M. Lodha from Sanmati Consultant. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, Vajay sir.
Yes.
Can you hear me, sir? This is A.M. Lodha. Good afternoon, Vakya sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Sir, I have two questions. One pertaining to one extraordinary item which you have debited in the December quarter of 20 crore something.
Yes.
Some note has been given in your December quarter, because since the conference call is being held first time.
Okay.
If you would have been held after the December quarter, we would have certainly asked a question in the December quarter itself.
That's perfectly understandable. So that was...
Since it is being held first time and we got opportunity to get the clarification from the company.
Yes, yes.
So 20 crore something has been debited in other expenses in the last quarter for product development expenses.
Okay. So, Mr. Lodha, you have two questions. One is this, and if you can tell me the other question also, I'll reply both.
Other portion relating to this quarter, sir?
Yes.
The other portion regarding dividend.
Okay.
Sir, first is extraordinary item of 20 crore product development expenses you have debited. I think it is in the first time in the history of the company this amount has been debited in the books of accounts.
Okay.
Bajaj Saab company is developing the products every 2 or 3 days, every week company is filing some product development. Every week we are filing new products, new development, new packaging, new system, everything is coming. But this type of expenses never debited in a single year. 20 crore rupees which you have debited in the December region in a single quarter, not single year. So in my opinion, Bajaj Saab, this should have been debited over the life cycle of the product which have been developed, number one. Number two, or if you would have been instead of debiting entire amount in a one quarter, it should have been spread fairly on the either 4 quarter, 6 quarter, 8 quarter, whatever be. So the impact on the profit would not have been seriously as we felt in the last quarter, number one. This is the one question, sir. But sir, second question is, company is earning 700 crore, 898 crore PBDT this year. I have added interest, depreciation and profit before tax. It is 890 crore, sir.
Yes.
And if I exclude the interest, which is expenses, so it is 700 crore, sir. So out of the company, 700 crore, we are very regretful, sir. The company don't have the dividend policy. They have reduced the dividend from last year. They have only paid 2 rupees dividend against last year. I think last year it was 350, sir,
yeah.
Or 3 rupees, if Rajesh can clarify.
3 rupees 50
sir. 350, sir?
Yes.
Abhi 2 rupees aapne kar diya, sir.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. A.M. Lodha, but may I request you to return to the question queue for any follow-up questions?
To the answer of my two questions only. I didn't get the answer.
Mr. Lodha, your questions are very clear to me, so let me just... So the write-off you are talking about is relating to some product development, which ultimately we had to write off because, you know, we didn't have a commercial success there. And that is why we decided to write it off rather than, you know, if there are products whose life cycle is what we are expecting, you know, larger. But in this case, we were not expecting this this sort of life cycle, and we had to abort this. So that is why we wrote off the whole thing. We could have written it off in a few quarters, but then, you know, we thought that, you know, if it is a write-off decision has come in a particular quarter, let's write it off fully in that quarter itself. And obviously then, you know, you start with a clean slate in the rest of the year. So on the dividend policy, yes, you can say that, you know, we have so much of profit and all that. But if you look at the standalone operations in India, the PAT has gone down from about 193 crores to about 100 odd crores. And, you know, I explained that has an impact of, a higher operating cost for the Sanand facility, higher interest and depreciation for the Sanand facility. So,
yeah.
So the standalone operations are have an impact of the Sanand capitalization. And that is why, you know, we are confident that, you know, while Sanand facility is ramping up and will also contribute in a much larger way. But, you know, the dividend, if you see last year versus this year, because the dividend money is largely from Indian operations only. So, you know, the payout has almost been the same if you take it at an Indian operations level.
Okay, sir. I shall join in the queue again.
Thank you.
Any inquiry, sir?
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mohit Agarwal from India Capital. Please go ahead. Mohit Agarwal, your line is
muted. Yeah, sure. Sir, can you hear me?
Yeah, Mohit, I can hear you.
Okay, sir. So my question is regarding one of the interviews you had given, I think, 2 or 3 months earlier to a news channel where you said you've been talking to a lot of equity investors and you're considering equity raise. This, the due diligence process is in the process. And so can you just update me on where you stand on that? Because, you know, in the last 3 months, we know that the share price has literally fallen 40-50%. So is it still, you know, the deal is still on? Are you still talking to the investors? What's the update there?
No, I think there is, seems to be some gap here because what we meant by that is that, you know, the promoter will look at, you know, sort of putting in more capital at this stage when, you know, we have, you know, the business is growing, but not a third party, you know, sort of a capital. So currently we are already through with that process, and I think over the next few days we will go to the shareholders to seek their approval for some preferential offer to the promoters. And so that process is on.
Okay, so that was kind of my follow-up question, because I was thinking, why not the promoter? Because I think the promoter stands at roughly around 44-45%. And we see a huge potential as such a high cash flow generating company. Why would you go and dilute yourself to existing shareholders? You know, promoter putting in money obviously brings in more confidence in the existing shareholder. That was my follow-up question. So one question on the Effecto, which is, I read in the presentation that you have added some 12 customers and you're talking to some bigger clients. So can you tell us a little bit about the profile of these 12 customers which you've added and if they contribute in your Q4 numbers or we can expect something in the Q1?
So these customers, about 15 customers we currently serving for our aseptic packaging, and these are, you know, not the top rung category, the likes of, they are not the kind of Amul or Parlays or Dabur and all that. They are the second rung. I can't name them, but you know, I can only tell you that you know, we're there in today, if through these 15 customers, we're there in all the categories. But there are three major categories for the aseptic packaging business. About 50% of this is used by the juice industry. About 30% goes to the liquor, and about 20-22% goes to the, you know, the dairy. So on the Big East one, we are, it's, you know, because they are slightly more rigid in terms of their quality requirements, in terms of their testing and other procedures, as well as the commercial negotiations. So I can only tell you that, you know, all the these things with the big clients are also at a very advanced stage, and not in Q1, but in Q2, you will see major breakthrough coming with a large, you know, sort of customers also.
Sure. Okay. So one last question. We can see your effective tax rate of the company being very low. Can you explain us the corporate tax rate for the company and why historically it has been almost like negligible?
No, so we are a MAT paying company, and that's it. And you know, the impact of a higher depreciation in terms of the deferred tax benefits or liabilities is there for the India operation, but globally in some of our facilities like Dubai, like Poland and Egypt, this year we came in tax, and Mexico, we currently have some tax advantages in all these jurisdictions. That is why if you see on a consolidated basis, the tax ratio will be, you know, sort of very low. But if you see the India where there is a MAT and there is a, you know, that I think you will find that the tax ratio, that the tax to PBT is a normalized distribution. But Poland, we have a tax holiday. Dubai is not a tax jurisdiction at all. And Mexico, again, we don't have the tax. U.S. and, you know, Egypt. Egypt also became, started paying tax only recently.
Okay. So can I take one more question?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I want to know, sir, you said you had done about 500 crores of capex in the last financial year, and this was mainly on part of your holography expansion. So can you give us a breakdown of about how much of this was in the holography and, out of this 500 crores, and what was the capacity added in holography, so we can just get a rough idea, you know, how much does the holography capex cost to you?
Holography expansion we're doing currently costs us about 150 crores. Okay. And then there was Sanand, which costed us about 580 crores, which got spread over the year 2016-17 and 17-18. And this apart, you know, we added some new metallizing facilities this year, which were, you know, adding to the, not to the overall film capacity, but value additions to the, you know, the metallized film is more value-added film. So obviously, you don't gain on the volumes, but you definitely gain on the profitability side. And then, as part of our normal sustaining capex and all that, would be about 125 to 150 crores. So if, so that's the broad distribution for you know, sort of the capex.
So just one how much was the holography capacity added for this 150 crores you had spent?
I'll have to get back to you for this.
Okay, I'll wait for that.
So that is still not complete. I can only tell you that the holography expansion is still not complete. It's getting completed in Q2.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's it for me, sir. I'll come back here. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Aman Santalia from AK Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My question is relating to Buffett business. I think recently I've attended 2-3 con call of Digital Industries, SRF, and Cosmo Film. They were saying that the overcapacity in the Buffett business is over now, and the demand supply is very much balanced, and the margin in the Buffett is has increased by around 10 per kg. So what is the situation with the company and in the industry, sir?
So I think the Buffett segment continues to be, you know, a very robust performance. So yes, in the Q2 of FY 17-18, we've seen the much better prices. We've seen the much better margin expansion in the Buffett side also. And currently, you know, the Buffett prices are still lower in India by about 20 rupees a kg. And there is a headroom for the companies to increase the Buffett prices, given that the import parity prices today are much higher. The rupee depreciation also helps, because, you know, a lot of companies do export the films to the other parts of the world. So I think overall, next 2 years to me looks very good for the Buffett, you know, and only after that, when some new capacity addition comes up and all that, you know, you can see that, you know, again, that may dampen the pricing a bit. But currently, you know, each successive month we are seeing that, you know, the price is increasing, driven by also the raw material price increase. But it's not only raw material, there is a margin expansion happening in the Buffett side also.
So, sir, most of the capacity is located outside India, as far as Buffett is concerned. So what was the realization into the margin per kg in 2017 and 2018, and what is the current margin, sir?
I'll have to share that later with you as to what are the margins. But I can only tell you that overall, you know, the performance for the BOPET plants worldwide was much better, and that could be seen in the EBITDA for the overseas business also, which was up by about 10% during the year.
So right now it is even better than the Q4 of
2017-18. Yeah, you can say so. It is better than the Q4 of.
And sir, my another question is regarding the why there is a fall in engineering turnover and margin.
See, engineering is a very, you know, customer-specific industry and all that. And there is some impact of the GST because, you know, some of the people who, you know, we serve in this segment and all that, so they are, you know, currently affected by the GST. Particularly the industry which is, you know, your mouth fresheners and gutka and all that, they are heavy consumers of this, you know, the packaging industry, you know, the packaging machinery and all that. And even within, you know, Uflex also, we are currently not adding much of the, you know, the engineering, the new machines and all that, because now the endeavor is to sweat your existing assets fully and then look at the extension on the, you know, the packaging side. So engineering being a different business, it's and we very specialized, you know, in a particular industry as such. So there could be ups and downs.
Yeah. Sir, why there is an increase in receivables in the balance sheet?
They are in line with the increase in turnover and the increase in the volumes. So there is nothing abnormal about this. And, you know, we've seen that the food prices have gone up, the raw material costing have gone up. So it affects things at all the levels. And that is while you see that, you know, the BOPET prices, which were about 100 rupees a kg till about 6 months back, they are now about 130 rupees a kg. So that 30 rupees in kg extra is not all margin. It's also maybe 25 rupees out of that is an extra cost of, you know, the higher cost of the raw materials, what we have to, you know, sort of share. So there's nothing out of sync there. They're all in sync with the increase in the volume, value, as well as the cost of the raw materials growth.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mehak Sethi from Almonds Global. Please go ahead. Mehak Sethi, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Yeah. I've just joined late on the call, so I just want to understand two things. What is happening at aseptic plant right now, and what are our plans for debt repayment for next year, FY19 and FY20 respectively?
So, can you repeat your question again? What's happening at the plant?
Aseptic packaging plant. What are the what utilization we are looking out in FY19?
FY19, we're looking at anywhere between 1.5 to 2 billion packs a year.
1.5 to 2 million packs. And what will be the plan for debt repayment, sir? Any plans for debt?
FY19, our debt repayment is about 150 crores.
Okay.
Not much. So
okay. And FY20, anything?
FY20 is about 250 crores.
Okay. One more question, sir. I'm looking out just in the rising input price scenario as the crude is moving up right now. How we are placed against our peers? So do we have any, being a backward integration player, do we have any advantage over peers, or how exactly we are placed against our competitor in this environment, sir?
So I think you have to look at this business by business. In the films business, there is a fortnightly pricing announcement by the refineries.
Okay.
So depending on those prices, you immediately correct your market prices. And so that there is no impact. In any case, if there is an impact, that's a positive impact, because whatever is the, in a rising market, whatever is the work in process and the stocks you have for the raw materials as well as the finished goods, it impacts you positively because the price increase is, you know, they all these refineries work on a first 1 to 15 and then 16 to 30th. So for a 16 to 30th period, they will give me a price on 15th, which is based on some, you know, the previous calculations and all that. But we not go because that's the price which is announced by the IOC, BPC and HPC, where we buy most of our, you know, the PP and MEG from. And so the moment that price is announced, you know, the finished good prices are adjusted in the film. On the packaging, you know, it's not immediate. Where there are spot contracts, it is immediate. But where there are long-term contracts, then depending on the contract, it has a lag of, say, about 30 days or in maximum cases, about 90 days. So that's, you know, there it really hits you on an up cycle, but on a down cycle, it gives you, you know, the same impact on a positive side.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from line of Ameya Mahurkar from MK Global. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Yes. Can you tell me what is the geographical performance in like UAE, USA, and Europe?
So I think I can share their you know, sort of volumes with you.
Yeah.
So India production was up by about 8% this year. Dubai was 10%.
Okay.
Mexico was 7%. Egypt was 4%. Poland was about 6.5%. And US by about 16.5%.
16.5%.
Yes.
Okay.
And overall it is 8% for the films.
And sir, in your segmental revenue, like flexible packaging activities,
yeah,
in that there are two subsections, like film business and other business.
Yeah.
So how are they performing?
So the films business is what, so there are three groupings in the segment, no? There's one is the flexible packaging, which includes films. The second is the engineering, and third is other.
Okay.
Films I just talked to you about. Packaging, again, you know, this year we had production volume increase in the packaging of about 11%, sales volume up by 12%, and the sales value up by 10%.
Okay.
You know, on the then there is an engineering business which we just spoke about. And then the third is others, which is basically the corporate office, which is the sort of a cost center. So we don't allocate the corporate expenses to the businesses and all that. So in the others category, you will find that negative number, which basically comprises of some of the overheads and the costs which we have at a corporate level.
Okay. And sir, lastly, so in FY19, you are going to do a capex of 150 crores, right?
FY19?
Yeah.
So I'm saying that's the normal sustenance capex that a company of our size and scale would normally do.
Okay. And for the FY20?
So I think that number pretty much remains the same. You know, your sustaining capex over the years, it could be 20, 25 crore plus and minus. In a year, it could be 125 crore. In another year, it could be 150 crores.
Mm-hmm.
And that's only talking about, you know, some of the new technologies coming. So that's not really the capacity expansion. That may be some modernization. That may be some debottlenecking somewhere. You know, some of the, you know, the new technology that you have to keep on embracing in this business, that's only pertaining to that. There is no capacity expansion happening because of that sustaining capex.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dixit Mittal from Shubkam Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. So you gave the volume growth in film of
8%. Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Mittal, but you're not audible. Can you please speak closer to the phone?
Yeah, is it fine now?
Yeah. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. You gave the growth rates in film as well as packaging business. So can you give the actual volumes and the revenue breakup between the two segments for the full year?
No.
Okay. At least revenue breakup can you give, sir, out of that total revenue for the full year? How much was from film and how much is from packaging?
So I can give you the volume, okay, which should give you... So this year, the total production was 79% of the volume is from the films, and the packaging is the rest, which is 21% of the sales volume bifurcation for the current year. And totally we have produced and sold about 371,000 tons.
Okay. So packaging we are running at almost kind of full utilization.
No, packaging we are not running at full capacity.
Sorry, film business. I'm film business, I meant.
Yes, I said that, you know, out of the 6 locations we have, at 4 locations, we have running at the full capacity. Dubai and Mexico, we have some headroom there. And in April and May, I think there are, you know, the volume performances have gone up, are much better than what they have been in the last year in these two territories. Other territories were already operating at a near peak capacity. So... you know, depending on you know, the plant availability and all that, and you know, if you have a plant shutdown or you're doing some modernization and all that, I think they're doing almost their capacity, or maybe in some cases higher than their installed capacity.
Okay, so sir, you mentioned that volume growth for next year will be around 10%. In both the segments. So, so do we have enough capacity to grow in film at around 10% next year?
I think the volume growth for the films may not be 10%. Maybe lesser, around 6-7%. But in the packaging, I think because of the full effect coming in this year of aseptic packaging also. So there the volume growth, we are expecting it to be higher than that.
Okay. So are we planning any expansions in film business? CapEx in next 1 to 2 years?
I think we will have to look at, but today there's nothing on the table.
Okay. Because, sir, like if I see cash profits are around 500 crores in your company, and maintenance capex is 150 crores. And you're planning to raise equity as well from promoters. So is there any big CapEx plan on the horizon? I just wanted to understand in that front.
There is nothing as of now which is there. So, you know, as of now, we are happy digesting our Sanand facility expansion, with Sanand facility greenfield, which happened, which we spent about little over 500 crores. 150 crores is the holographic business that we invested, and you know that will get commissioned in Q2. I think depending on this year as to how these two businesses perform. Holographic is an existing sustainable business, so I don't have much you know, concerns there. But aseptic packaging is one business where we've not been there earlier, so it's a new customer segment for us and all that. So that will be the key performance of that would be the key to deciding as to, you know, when do you plan your next round of the CapEx. But I can tell you currently there is no such plan. And you know, we keep on evaluating the opportunities, we keep on... you know, keep our eyes and ears open as to, you know, what. So, you know, largely we have missed out on the on the film's capacity expansion in India. In India, after 2004, actually, we've not had any expansion happening on the film capacity, while other players who were very marginal at that stage have become much bigger than us in India. Globally, yes, on an overall basis, we're still the number three or number four worldwide in the thin polyester films. But, in India, we have ceded a lot of market share to the other players over the years because we largely concentrated on the packaging business, which is more sustainable and more, sticky.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nikhil Marfatia from Marfatia Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Very good afternoon, sir.
Congratulations
for the successful launch of aseptic packaging. Sir, can you throw light on some of the questions? What is the expected business from aseptic packaging with the number of clients presently and expected increase in client base, the margins from the aseptic business?
Okay. So, aseptic packaging, currently we have a capacity of 3.5 billion packs.
Okay.
We have deliberately not installed another printing line, which costs about 50 crores and will take the capacity to about 7 billion packs a year. Which we will take a call on that, I think, a year later, depending on the performance this year and the next year, because we can set up that line in 6 months' time and all. So at a full capacity of 7 billion packs, it should give us a top line of about 1,200 crores. The normal margins in the business, EBITDA margin in the business is about 18 to 20%, and the volume growth in the aseptic packaging is about 20%. So given that dynamics and given that there is only one single supplier in the market, dominant supplier, I think, we'll surely get insight into the big clients in the current year. And so the current year, as I said, that we're looking at 1.5 to 2 billion packs range. So next year, if we are able to, sort of go up to, say, 3 billion packs and all that, that's the visibility we have. That's the time we will take a call to install the new, another line for which there is already infrastructure in place to increase the capacity to 7 billion packs.
Right, sir. And another, which is actually the focus area for increase in margins and the growth opportunities going forward in the current business and the expected margins for the current year, sir?
No, I didn't get your question at all.
Sir, what will be the focus area for increase in the margins in the business? Because
the focus area for increasing the margin business is only one thing which can happen and which can give you increased margin is the value-added products. And
right.
There is a huge emphasis in the company for the value-added products. Holography business, if you see, our margins are consistently better than many of the peers because of two reasons. One, because we are fully integrated. So we make our own films, we make our own inks, we make our own adhesives, we make our own cylinders, we make our own printing machines, we make our own filling lines. So everything is done in-house more or less. And the second reason is because, in this holographic value added, you will not find that, many competitors are there in that space. And that space is growing very rapidly. People are realizing that, counterfeiting is the main issue. It affects the brand value also for them, and it affects the sales for them also. So the governments have also realized that, looking at the success of the 3-4 states where we are already, and they've seen that a huge increase in the tax revenues coming out of the liquor industry. So other states are today looking at, following the same model and going ahead with the holography security features for the liquor industry, where we are clearly market leaders. So I think the margin enhancement will actually come from some of these products. In the current year, we've been working on big clients like PepsiCo and Tilda, for the last couple of years. So Tilda, we have already started supplies in Q4 of this year. And PepsiCo, we are, you know, sort of already approved. And hopefully this year we are expecting a huge breakthrough, you know, in that category. And then, you know, we can be pretty big.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Marfatia, but may I request you to rejoin the queue for any follow-up questions. We have several participants waiting for their turn.
So, last question. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Any plans to demerge the flexible packaging division and the film division?
Nothing at the, on the anvil currently.
And so, vision 2021 for the company, sir?
Vision 2021?
Yeah.
To have to sell 7 billion packs from the aseptic packaging plant.
Yeah, right.
The capacity utilization of the existing packaging facility close to about 90%.
Yeah. All the best for that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sagar Shah from KSA. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir.
Yes.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Yeah, my first question was regarding to the your something like your margin front on the, as I see something like, even though something like you have achieved a 12% revenue growth on the consolidated basis, but on the EBITDA margins, something like there was a shortfall of 100 bits. So something like, can we attribute this to basically to more of on crude oil prices, and we haven't been able to pass on the prices to something like to our customers?
I think I already answered that question, that, you know, there is in the packaging business, there may be a bit of a lag. So that could be the reason. But I think the larger reason for the EBITDA being stagnant or being lower in the Indian subsidiary, in the Indian operations, is because of the impact of a sudden facility which got capitalized. And that is where, you know, their operating costs added on to the costs, and that is why, even despite the higher volumes in the films as well as the packaging business, the EBITDA couldn't improve.
Okay, so so my second question was regarding to the, as you were saying, the BOPET margins are something like quite higher. So my question was that, do we make the basic commodity BOPET films, or are we to the specialty films of BOPET in case of films business?
So we are not very much into specialized products.
Okay.
Currently, but you know, we are looking at that specialization. Right now, the markets are quite robust, so you know, you are able to sell what you produce, but you know, the endeavor is to be more on the value-added side. Yes, we do make some thinner microns in our existing plants and all that, and that is what limited value addition we are doing. But we have a full now a PLP program across the organization, which you know, is working purely on the you know, the value-added films and over the years.
Okay, and sir, you have already given a breakup of the sectors of for the Sanath facility that you will be catering to, but I want something like breakup of the sectors that you for your flexible packaging as well as your engineering is being catering to which sectors basically.
So flexible packaging, you don't need to, you know, because the flexible packaging may, if you see, the 90% of the segment is the food. Is always the food for the flexible packaging.
FMCG is you're referring to?
No, I'm talking about particularly food only.
Food only?
Yeah. Food packaging.
Food packaging.
The snacks, the something which is, you know, sort of ready to eat. And that is where you use, you know, more product also. Because let's say if you buy a shampoo, you will use that same pouch in that shampoo for over 3 or 4 months. But if you buy a chips packet, you will consume that in 5 minutes, and then next day you'll need the other, the new one.
Right.
So they are the largest consumers of the flexible packaging, the food industry, where you know the consumption levels are so high.
And your volumes also go up because of that.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Shah.
Yeah.
I request you to return to the question queue for any follow-ups.
Sure.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Akshay Barjate from Rubicon Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. So, you know, I would really appreciate if you can, you know, highlight what's the opportunity, you know, in the aseptic packaging industry. You know, what is the industry size? You know, what is the market share of the number one player in that particular industry? So, you know, we can get a sense as to, you know, how we are really looking to build out.
Okay. So, flexible packaging industry till the end of FY18 is largely a 10 billion packs industry, growing at about 20% each year. And the industry is 90% Tetra Pak and 10% is the C-grade players who operate in the rural or the small cities, which import these packs from, you know, the low-end packs from, you know, sort of China. And as I said, 50% is juice, 30% is about alcohol, and alcohol is growing in a big way. And that is where, we come in because, you know, it's only the alcohol people who can pay a value-added price for a product which is, which is differentiated on the shelf. The milk players are very value-conscious players. The juice players, the new ones, those who have already established brands and all that, so they are also a bit sensitive to the pricing. But the new ones who are introducing, they want their product to, you know, look different on the shelf. So they are likely to, you know, spend more on the packaging of that product, and once their product stands out on the shelf, that is where, you know, they will, they'll be able to get better volumes and the visibility. On the alcohol side, it's working out to be a very, you know, sort of good, because, you know, it comes in as small as 100 ml packs also. And today, because, we have that specialized ability of, sparkle packs or some, different kind of feel good you have on the pack. And in liquor industry, it works much better because, you know, they can pay, the contents in the pack are the costliest in the liquor business, and they have definitely then the pocket to pay for a value add on the packaging, which we are targeting. So that's largely the industry as well as, you know, as to how it is going. So the juice and the packaging are the key. And milk in India in the Tetra Packs is still a very, very specialized milk, because otherwise the milk is sold in the poly packs, what, you know, you and me get at their houses, that Amul pouch and all that. But it's only some lassi or some, other drinks on the dairy side, which are only, you know, sort of sold on that. And their volume is relatively, you know, sort of less. So that is why, despite the fact that, you know, dairy apparently looks to be a larger consumer, a largest customer, but, you know, they are only at the third place in the consumption side.
Understood. So my second question is, you know, you mentioned that 90% of our flexible packaging, capacity is catering to the foods industry, right? Basically, chips, etc. So my question is, what is the possibility of a regulatory change happening? Like what we have seen with the banning of plastic bags across the state of Maharashtra. If such a change were to come about, how deeply would it impact us?
I think whatever is the change in the Maharashtra, that's on the poly thing. It's not on the flexible packaging, because poly things like, you know, the poly handbags that we carry to, carry our goods, or the poly bags which are today used in the milk distribution and all that, they are the largest, users of that. Now, the flexible is different. Flexible has a very little substitute. Yes, there are substitutes for rigid, but, you know, how cost-effective they are, and ultimately, one has to see their carbon footprint also. So tomorrow, if you don't pack chips in this wrapper, you pack in any sort of a rigid packaging, a cardboard or a tin and all that. So, you know, your overall transportation cost goes up. Your overall, the cost even otherwise goes up. So even on a carbon footprint point of view, they're not very conducive. So I think the flexible packaging is not to, have any concerns about this. But yes, there'll be added responsibility on them as to, you can do more on recycling this or converting a part of this into fuel and all that. So all those, sort of pressures will come, but nothing to say that, if tomorrow, you will have to have the Lay's chips only in a cardboard pack or that won't happen.
Understood. So I have one last question, if I may. You mentioned that our packaging production is up 11%, sales volume is up 12%, and I think sales value for the year is up 10%. So there is a big difference between the sales volume and the sales value of 200 basis points. So am I to understand that realizations were under pressure this year?
Sometimes it depends on the, the composition of your sales also and production also. So if you're doing more on pouching, yes, your value will also be up. But if you are doing less on the pouching and more on the, the soft rolls, so which are more in, sort of volume, but, low in value. So it's a derivative of, how is your sales and the production composition is. Overall basis, yes, you can see that, you can say that there may be a bit of pressure on the products which are, made by anybody, and, they don't differentiate. But again, looking at the overall picture, I think the margins are pretty sustainable.
So do we expect our margins to crop back up again to what they were in FY17? Or do we think that the product mix is going to remain more or less how it has been in FY18 as well?
So I think from a product side, we are giving a lot of emphasis to the pouching thing rather than the soft rolls part of it. So as the pouching production and the volumes will pick up, so the pouching is that, we make the pouch in our factory only, and that, we give it to the customer for filling and all that. A soft roll is where, you're just giving a rolled film to the customer, and, he is packing, doing everything at his place. So obviously the margins are much better in the pouching. And we have surplus capacity currently on the pouching side. And as I told you, we've got Tilda this year. So, we're looking to, expand that product, that application. And largely for a lot of things for the export markets, because, that is where we can bring value to them, both in terms of the cost and the quality. And that is what will, even if on certain products which can be manufactured by anybody, there'll be a margins pressure. So you will offset that by increasing the volumes of, some of the specialized packs like pouching.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we take the last question from the line of Aman Sotalia from AK Securities. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is regarding what is the long-term sustainable margin for the company, EBITDA margin?
I think overall basis, we should look at about 15% EBITDA margins for our business.
And sir, have you seen that what was the per kg margin in the Poppet last year and currently, sir? What was the margin in Poppet last year and currently per kg?
I can give you the prices only. I can't give you the margins of that. So currently, the Poppet prices currently are about 130 rupees a kg. And last quarter, the prices were about 120, I think. Just give me a second. So last quarter, Q4, the average BOPET prices were 119, and currently they are 129. Last quarter, the raw material was 75 rupees a kg, and this quarter it is 81 rupees a kg. So,
okay. So there is a net increase of around 4.
There is an increase in margin.
Yeah, yeah. And do you hope that it is going to sustain in the, for the next 2-3 years?
I think 2 years, I can see that, you know, the polyester outlook is seems okay. But, you know, this is one such industry where, you know, the moment a particular segment is doing well, everybody starts investing in that, and that brings the, you know, again, the pressure on the margin. But for the polyester, at least, I think we have a visibility for the next 2 years, you know, how it is going.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Hello.
Hello. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. And I'll hand the conference over to Mr. Rajesh Agarwal for closing comments. Over to you.
Yeah, thank you everyone for joining us today. And we look forward to staying in touch in coming quarters. Have a nice day. Take care. Thank you, Mr. Bhatia.
Thank you. On behalf of Edelweiss Securities Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.